Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Saturday, July 12th. Happy Saturday. I'm imagining you on a slow walk or maybe in a porch swing. Perhaps you're on a bicycle getting your workout finished. Wherever you are today, maybe you're at work. May this be a time where we enter into God's presence as we read His Word together. Our memory verse is Matthew chapter 11, verse 30. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Our first passage today is our last passage in the 180 days through Scripture in the Student Study Bible. We're in Revelation chapter 21, verses 9 through 27. The title in the NIV is The New Jerusalem, the Bride of the Lamb. One of the seven angels, who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues, came and said to me, Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and there were 12 angels at the gates. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were three gates to the east, three on the north, three on the south, and three on the west. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The angel who talked with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city, its gates, and its walls. The city was laid out like a square, as long as it is wide. He measured the city with the rod and found it to be 12,000 stadia in length, and as wide and high as it is long. The angel measured the wall using human measurement, and it was 144 cubits thick. The wall was made of jasper and the city of pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundations of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second, sapphire, the third, agate, the fourth, emerald, the fifth, onyx, the sixth, ruby, the seventh, chrysolite, the eighth, beryl, the ninth, topaz, the tenth, turquoise, the 11th, jacinth, and the 12th, amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made of a single pearl. The great street of the city was of gold, as pure as transparent glass. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I meant to ask you this question before I began so that you could notice while we were reading, but did you recognize what is absent from the New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven? What did John say there won't be in this New Jerusalem? There won't be a temple. Why? Because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple. They are how we commune with God. That's where we go. Also, there won't be any sun or moon. We won't need the light, the lesser lights, because the Lord will give us light and the Lamb of God, who is Jesus, will be the lamp. It's a wonderful image that the scriptures end on, that we are in communion with God and there is no darkness. It's a great contrast to the beginning of scripture, well, to the third chapter of Genesis, where we have the fall, and we've been working toward this ultimate restoration of mankind with God, and here we see it in the book of Revelation. Our next passage is Luke chapter 12, verses 22 through 34. This is a good passage for us to go back to. It's about not worrying and keeping our focus on the kingdom, and then also reminding ourselves that God knows what we need. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, but your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourself that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Our final reading from the book of Proverbs for a while, tomorrow we'll start with the Psalms, is Proverbs chapter 12. Verse 8, and I pray that as we read it, the Lord would continue to give us wisdom from on high. "A person is praised according to their prudence, and one with a warped mind is despised." Thank you for listening along as we read God's word together. This word prudence comes up again in the same sentence as wisdom. I've been thinking about, what does a prudent person look like? It's not really a word that I use often. And in my research, I think that a prudent person is someone who remembers the past and allows that to help them discern for the future. It's someone who uses intelligence and wisdom in the present, and someone who has foresight to the future. And so, Lord, we pray that as you work through our memory, that you would give us a sanctified memory and help us in knowing how you're at work. Please give us wisdom in the present moment. As it says in Psalm 143, "Teach us to do your will, for you are our God." And then give us foresight for the future. We can't know everything that is coming our way, but we know that you are with us wherever we go. A couple of weeks back, maybe even a couple months now, I read a prayer about worrying, and it resonated with some of us. And so I'm going to pray that prayer one more time as it relates to Luke chapter 12, which reminds us that we don't need to worry because for the Lord of all creation cares for us. Heavenly Father, thank you for being a God who cares deeply for me. Today, I lay down the burdens that weigh on my heart, my fears, my uncertainties, and my anxious thoughts. I trust that you are strong enough to carry what I cannot. Teach me to surrender fully, to lean into your peace, and to remember that I am never alone. Help me to walk forward with confidence, knowing you hold my future in your hands. In Jesus' name, amen.